broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. And we do it each and every night here, and we have Mr. Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California, who's going to join us in a moment and talk about the process that he went through and that others go through in applying for maybe one of the most coveted jobs in all of law enforcement, one of the single most coveted jobs in all of law enforcement. You can talk about the FBI. I suppose you can talk about, you know, different the New York City Police, Los Angeles Police, working for some of these large cities or large municipalities. But he is going to be talking with us about perhaps an even more coveted job than those, the job of a Texas Ranger, a Texas Ranger. And if you want to know what a Texas Ranger is, well, we'll talk with Mr. Bozell. But essentially, they act as the state of Texas's Bureau of Investigation. You've heard of the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, and you have the Kansas Bureau. Every state has their South Carolina Law Enforcement Department, you know, SLED, I think they call it, right?
What's that?
South Carolina Law Enforcement.
South Carolina would be SCLED.
Yeah, you're right, SCLED. That's right, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I just was wondering, I didn't know about that.
That's fine. One of these days, something miraculous is going to happen. Something miraculous is going to happen. You know what that is?
You going to iron a shirt?
Are you trying to be funny now?
No, I'm sorry.
Because I swear to God, something miraculous is going to happen. You know what it's going to be? You guys are going to take my word for something.
No, I said.
No, it's okay. It's, you know, you didn't say anything. I say South Carolina Department of Law Enforcement Department. You guys go, well, that'd be SCLED. One of these days, you'll just take my word for something, and you'll just shut up, and we'll move on. But until that time, I guess I'm going to have to just keep on explaining stuff. Anyway, we will talk with Mr. Bozell momentarily. For those of you who do not have a backstage pass, why? If you don't have a backstage pass, that means you miss out on our live streaming video every night on Phil TV and HD. That means you don't have access to the archives of our show. Every single show since 1998, 1999, every single show, you understand, folks. This isn't just bits. This isn't just 10 seconds here, 50 seconds there, 3 minutes there. The entire shows that we have done, archived on our website, available for download. That's right, download. Now, get a backstage pass, and if you'd like to see or have a little free sample, if you will, you can go to our site every day the next day and listen to the previous night's show streaming on our website. You can't download it. That's only for our backstage pass holders, but you can listen and listen to the show and just get a feel for what our website is all about at philhendryshow.com. So get a backstage pass now. All right, Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. It was very interesting. There was a couple of programs on today dealing with some of the more celebrated cases of the Texas Rangers. And I don't know if you had seen any of them, Mr. Bozell, but I appreciate you being on our program, and I hope you're well. How are you tonight?
I'm doing very well, Mr. Henry. I appreciate you having me on.
And, Mr. Bozell, did you happen to catch any of the...
I did not see any programs you're talking about. I have seen a great many documentaries on the Texas Rangers. I've got nothing but admiration for them, and I've always certainly wanted to be a part of their organization. And I think it's unfortunate that, my attempt at become a Texas Ranger ended the way that it did.
Well, I want to talk to you about that. But most of the information I got about the Texas Rangers, I got from doing a little reading about them, looking at some of these documentaries that I've seen. I know that they supposedly go back to 1835, but their job, as it were, has changed over the years, hasn't it?
Yes, sir. When the Texas Rangers was first organized by Sam Houston in the state of Texas, they were a militia. They were a group of armed individuals who was... a part of a state a militia, and that would be a state defense force, if you will, against the possible incursions of the Mexican government, which at that time, you know, Texas was part of Mexico, but there was a great dispute, which led to the Texas Rebellion, eventually Texas becoming a state The Texas Rangers function changed over time from the militia aspect after the Civil War. They were disbanded, but they were reconstituted rather quickly once Texas re-entered the Union as a with home rule from Austin, Texas. They reconstituted rather quickly and became more of a law enforcement agency.
And so recently, you had applied to the Texas Rangers. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I did. I applied to the Texas Rangers as part of a assignment that my son had done in school. My son wanted to do a paper on the Texas Rangers, but he felt that he needed something more in the paper, and so I said, "Why don't we, meaning you and I, my son and I, why don't we see if we can't apply?" Now I know that he couldn't, but I could in his stead, and I would tell him of my experience, and
that's pretty unique. That's a great idea.
Well, we felt that that would be the one thing that would kind of push his paper, over the top, or maybe make it stand out. Because you need to whatever you do in life, you want to have it.
Yeah, you want to do a little something extra to get people to notice it.
Exactly, yes, sir. So
that's very cool. So you did this as part of your son's assignment.
Yes, sir. It was my son's American history assignment. So I communicated by way of email with the Texas Rangers. They said that I had to take the test in person, and I said that's fine. I took 3 days off from my job because I own my own company, and so I had it pretty much runs itself sometimes. So I flew to Austin, Texas, and I took a written exam, and then waited for the test result. They'll give you a written exam right away.
And of course.
And part of it is a psychological evaluation, and that's where we get into a part of the story that was, I felt, not necessary. I've always admired the Texas Rangers ever since I was a little boy, because if you ever seen the Lone Ranger, you're going to go, that's,
Yeah, the Lone Ranger was a Texas Ranger, right?
Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. And
I don't know the. It's a mythic. It's a mythological story, but
yeah. But the story is that he was the only survivor of a group of Texas Rangers that was gunned down in a canyon or in a ravine or a kind of a barranca, maybe a dry riverbed that had ravine style features. And
okay, I mean it doesn't matter. It was.
Well, I just want to give you the idea where he was, and so. They were gunned down, and he's the only ranger that survived, and so he put on a mask, and he had a sidekick by the name of Tonto, and that's, him going with him. And I always loved that show.
Yeah, it was a cool show. It was a cool show, and it was on TV. And
yeah.
I remember the beginning of it with the William Tell Overture.
Yes, sir. The William Tell Overture, and his horse's name was Silver. And
so that guy's the Texas Ranger with the mask. We never do really know who he is.
Well, he was a Texas Ranger who was in a barranca or a ravine. And
no, I know. He got the guys, the other Texas Rangers got shot down.
Okay, yes, sir. And
right. So we went through that part. Now, what happened after you took the written test for the Texas Rangers?
Well, what happened was I did not hear from them. They said to wait 5 business days. I eventually called them. They said you could call and dial this number and we'll tell you. And I got a hold of it sounded like a clerical or a secretary or somebody who's not obviously a Texas Ranger. And I didn't expect to speak to a Texas Ranger because they're not doing office work. They're part of that, the crime-solving unit. So lady said, is this Mr. Bozell? I said, yes, Mr. Bozell. We're sorry to have to tell you that you have did not pass your initial, and I said, well, I did not pass the test. She said, no. I said, can you tell me about the psychological evaluation? She said, you did score low in that as well. And she tried to be, she's a very nice lady and very friendly. And I said, is there any way that I can retake the test? And she said, you have to wait a certain number of days, long time, and. She said, "With your psych evaluation, though, it's probably not, gonna, But I remember her words exactly were, with your psych evaluation, you may want to consider another area or something like that. So it was very crushing for me." because my whole life I'd always fantasized about being a member of the Texas Rangers. And a lot of people don't know about the Texas Rangers. They're the best law enforcement outfit there is. And to be told that I didn't even qualify, and on top of that, that my psych evaluation was, you know, low and all this, I had a hard time, you know, even keeping it together for the rest of the day.
When did you find this out?
This was on Monday.
Oh, this was just this past Monday?
Yes, sir. And boy, I had a hard time pulling it together that day because I found myself all of a sudden wanting to just break down and cry.
And well, why was this so powerful? Because this is this was something...
Well, it was for a lot of reasons.
But this was something you were doing for your son, correct?
Yes, it was definitely for Steve Jr.'s American history. But I never in a million years ever thought Texas Rangers that I wouldn't be able to ace that test. And I could say to my son, hey, look, you know, your old man aced the Texas Ranger test, but, you know, I've got a construction company, so, you know, I'm going to blow that off, you know. I mean, I don't think there's a man out there that doesn't fantasize about, you know, acing a test for the Texas Rangers and then turning to their son and saying, you know what, but I've got to stay here with you and Mom and your sister and just keep my business going. I'm going to blow off the Texas Rangers, you know, and then wad it up into a ball and throw it in a garbage can. But that didn't happen for me.
Well, I mean, was your fantasy to tell the Texas Rangers to go stuff it?
No, not at all. Not at all, sir. But I've got a job, and I've got a wife and children here in California, but I thought it would be cool to say to my own son, look, your dad qualified to be in the Texas Rangers, but guess what? And then wad the score of the test up in my hand and throw it like into a garbage pit.
But you weren't able to do that.
No, sir.
Because you didn't ace the test. But your son, nonetheless, was able to use this for his test.
Well, he was able to use it for his history report, you mean?
Yeah, the American History Report.
Yes, sir, but it was humiliating for me because my son's putting into his history report that my dad tried to get into the Texas Rangers and they told him to go to hell.
Well, that's not exactly what happened, sir. You know?
Well, for all intents and purposes.
No, that's not what happened. I mean, the lady said, she didn't tell you to go to hell. She said that you scored low. And that, you know, there were other opportunities and other law enforcement for you.
Well, there's other opportunities and other law enforcement. What? What is that? I wanted to be a Texas Ranger more than anything in the world.
But you weren't, not really.
No, I mean, if I were single, I mean, I've got a family now, but more than anything in the world, I wanted to be one. And instead, April, she got pregnant. You know the story. I don't have to go down the list of what happened to me. I mean, everybody knows the story. My wife gets pregnant. You know the drill.
Yeah. Your wife got pregnant. You got married to your wife, and you got you made a success out of yourself, and you've made a success out of your career, and you have a home, and you have two beautiful kids, and you know, life goes on, man.
Yeah, well, life goes on, but my dream.
But you know what, Steve? Here's the thing. You may not have passed that test before you were married.
I'm totally wrong. You're totally wrong.
How do you figure I'm wrong?
Because the reason why I didn't pass the psych test, and I'm going to tell you this very, very honestly, the reason why I didn't pass that psych test is because my mind and my emotions have been worn to a frayed edge by my family life. And if I had never gotten married, and if I'd never had that... I'd never gotten her pregnant. My would not have been subjected to the year in and year out of emotional savaging that's taken place, and my mind would not be coming apart. That's what they told me. I wouldn't go be a Texas Ranger.
So you think that had you not gotten married, your mind would have been fine?
Yes, sir.
And your mind has come apart as a result of being married?
I believe that a lot of men could say that. Yes, sir.
8 7. You know, what can I say? Hold on for a minute. Stephen Bozell with us, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here's a man who wanted to be a Texas Ranger. He did not pass the written evaluation, and in point of fact, his psychological evaluation came in low, and he says the reason for that? Being married has caused his mind, his psychological state of mind, to be, what can we say, you know, not the best. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back to talk more about joining the Texas Rangers with Stephen Bozell on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, joins us to talk about an unusual, a very, very unusual, I think a very admirable project, and that was you applying for the Texas Rangers so that your son would be able to put into an American history report this experience of you, and you feel humiliated, though. And
I feel humiliated because I wanted to join the Texas Rangers. I mean, I want to really join the Texas Rangers, but I didn't think they'd tell me, you know, sorry, Mr. Bozell, you're psychologically, you know, what's wrong with me? Why, they said that I was psychological, my psych test came in low. And
well, I mean, that can mean a lot of things. It can mean that...
What do you think it means?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that it means you're psychologically impaired. I think it could mean that there's a certain frame of mind you have to have that these guys have. Maybe you reacted too emotionally, you know?
Okay. You know, that. See, my wife said the exact same thing. God.
Well, what did she say?
My wife said the exact same thing. She said that they probably don't want someone who is emotional. And I said to her, the only time I'm ever emotional is when you people keep talking about that. And she doesn't understand.
Well, you just said, sir, that when you found out you did not get into the...
I know I said when I found out I didn't get into the Texas Rangers, I couldn't... I had to try to pull it together. I couldn't... You know, I would burst into tears every now and again, but that's not the same thing.
And why isn't that the same thing?
Well, because I found out that I wasn't going to be in the Texas Rangers.
Right there. You got emotional, didn't you?
I got emotional because you won't leave me alone. My wife is saying the same thing.
Well, sir, you're on my show tonight to talk about this experience. I have to ask you these questions, you know. Did you, when you found out you weren't going to be in the Texas Rangers, and you say that you were emotional all day, what did you say to your son?
I avoided my son. I left him a note. I said, Dear Steve Jr., I said that just got the word from the Texas Rangers that I forget what I wrote, but it probably wasn't good.
It probably wasn't good.
I think I wrote something like, "Dear, here I got it on my computer. Let me pull it up. It's an email that I sent him."
Well, it's not that important.
Hold on, here it is. Dear Steve Jr., I just got off the phone with the people at the Texas Rangers, and they informed me that my test was a little low. My psychological evaluation was also a little bit low. I've always wanted to be a Texas Ranger, but more importantly, I wanted to do this for you and your project. I hope it helps, humiliating me in front of your teacher and your friends. I don't blame you for this, but you know that I will be humiliated. Your father. Mr. Hendry, the reason why I'm talking to you... The reason why I'm talking to you, sir, about this is as a father... It's important that your son look up to you, and apparently you don't understand that.
I had to laugh, you know.
Why?
Because you went, your father, your voice cracked. 877.
My voice cracked, okay.
It did. Your voice cracked. I apologize, sir. I'm not quite sure what is at the root of this, but...
There's nothing at the root. See, you want to get into this whole psych evaluation thing. There's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me at all, other than the fact that I was told by the Texas Rangers to go to hell. I was told by the Texas Rangers that they don't need me.
How many people do you think every year the Texas Rangers say the same thing to? How many Texas Rangers are there?
Mr. Henry, I don't care about that.
How many Texas Rangers are there?
There are 160.
160?
Yes, sir.
Out of a whole state, out of a whole country, and that's another thing. You don't even come from Texas. Where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Knoxville, Tennessee. You live in California. Got nothing to do with Texas. But let's talk about this for a minute. 160 guys, that's it, man. That's the cutoff. 160 Texas Rangers, that's it. There ain't no more. So what makes you think, Mr. Bozell, that you're going to qualify as a Texas Ranger? Are we taking a break? I guess we are. Hold on for a minute. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Wait a minute. Are you hanging up on me?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm going to ask you some more questions about your Texas Ranger experience. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Mr. Stephen Bozell. He got turned down by the Texas Rangers.
Phil Henry.
He flunked their psych test.
I come in low. Not flunk, I come in low.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL on the line with me from Corona, California's Stephen Bozell talking about his application to the Texas Rangers that was turned down. Let's go to a phone call in Lancaster. We have Austin. Go ahead, Austin. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, sir. I want to talk to the gentleman on there from Corona.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. This gentleman? Yes, sir. This is Stephen Bozell. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to talk to you, sir. The Texas Rangers, I am originally from Austin, Texas.
Okay.
And I'm originally from Austin, Texas, and I'm very familiar with the Texas Rangers because they have a long-standing legacy, obviously, in the state of Texas. And you're talking about wanting to be in the Texas Rangers like it's not even a lifelong ambition. I mean, I know you said that it was.
No, that's always been my ambition. I wanted to be the Ranger, Texas Ranger. You don't understand.
Yeah, you say that's a lifelong ambition, and yet you said you was doing it for your son. You wanted this to be for your son's report.
Well, yes, sir. I wanted to be for my son's report, but I did not anticipate that. You know, I wasn't going to try and make a joke out of it either. You know.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, the Texas Rangers is no joke. And
no, I know it's no joke.
And being the Texas Rangers, you do have to have certain skills. You do have to have a certain level of intelligence. You do have to have all those other things that you would imagine you have to have. You can't join the Texas Rangers because you think it's some kind of a party. And
no, sir, I understand everything you're saying. You're way behind the ball on this. I understand.
No, I'm not behind the balls. Doesn't sound to me like you were behind the balls.
I didn't say behind the balls. And
okay, let's watch the we're singular ball. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't. I would never talk like that. And I
said I'm sorry. I didn't mean.
Okay, we're good. We're good. Go ahead.
Do I talk?
No, I'm talking.
And well, he said I could talk.
No, Mr. Bozell, go ahead.
Yeah. God, man.
But I didn't know.
You know, get with the program, man.
You get with the program. Look, brother. You're on it.
Hold on. I just want to say, the Texas Rangers, I respect the Texas Rangers.
If you respect the Texas Rangers so much, you would not be on this program, on the Phil Henry program right now, and you wouldn't be going, you really, man, you sound really bad, and you don't represent the Texas Rangers good, and you don't even represent yourself good.
Sir, I'm a husband and a father, and I respect my family very much. But I'm getting emotional about it.
Look at that, man. Every time you bring up the Texas Rangers, you're crying. You're baby, like your baby. You go baby on it. And
I didn't go baby on nothing.
Well, you have to admit that you have been very emotional, Mr. Bozell.
It was about my son. It was about wanting to give my son a report so that he could say that my dad qualified for the Texas Rangers, but he wadded up the application and stuffed it right back up their tailpipe because he didn't care. Okay?
Let me tell you something, man. Nobody wads up a Texas Ranger application and shoves it back up their tailpipe. Now, you went full baby on that when you found out that they didn't want you, and they don't want you. They don't want you, man. Why don't you just live with that? And you, instead of putting the throttle back on baby, and
I didn't throttle up on baby. All I said,
what are you guys talking about, throttle up on baby?
I'm just talking about this guy. He
thinks I throttled up on baby. Because
what does that mean, throttled up on baby?
He babied out. Yeah, he went baby.
What do you mean he went baby? He was a baby?
Yeah, I mean, what, boy, you're a little slow on the uptake, aren't you?
And no, I'm not slow on any uptake. Where are you anyway, sir?
You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Where are you?
I'm at work right now, sir. I'm working at the Cretton Mill in Lancaster.
You're in a mill?
Yes, sir.
God, it's loud in that joint. Thank you very, very much for your call.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And I enjoy your program very much.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. That was loud.
Mr. Henry, can I make a point?
Go ahead.
I did not. I'm emotional. Okay, yeah, I'm emotional. That doesn't mean I'm... You know, that doesn't mean that I can't... You know, I'm not a... When you said that I throttled up on baby, what he means is, if you throttle up... Okay, you know what that means, right?
Yeah, when you throttle up, it means you're pressing the accelerator to the floor. So you went full baby? Is that... It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
But yeah, but if you throttle up a baby...
What do you mean if you throttle up? Talk freaking English, will you? You mean you're emotional?
Yes, sir, I'm emotional.
Then say that. Then say that, sir. I don't speak this language that you guys speak.
Everyone knows what throttle up baby.
No, not everyone knows what throttle up baby means. It sounds, to be honest with you, it sounds nasty, you know?
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
It just sounds nasty. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Culver City on the Phil Henry Show. Actually, are we taking a break? We're not taking a break. Okay, good. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to take another phone call here. Culver City on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to talk to the gentleman. Gladys Grover, Phil.
Oh, Ms. Grover, how are you?
I'm very good. I wanted to talk to the gentleman, and I wanted to tell him that myself, and so it's very familiar, I raised a very emotional boy who is on Phil's program quite a bit, Mr. Barfel, and he is very sane, except he doesn't have the family that you have, and he doesn't have, I think, the intelligence and the stick-to-itiveness and the work ethic that you have. So I think you need to be very kind to yourself and to love yourself a little bit so that you're not, putting yourself down, you know?
I appreciate that, ma'am. I don't know. I appreciate that. I've done the best that I can.
You really have done the best you can with a family and a wife, you know?
I have, but when you want something as bad as I wanted this my whole life.
I know that you want something badly, but remember that not everyone, you don't always get everything that you want in this world, and a lot of things you're not going to be able to have. But I think you've dealt with this beautifully, and you deal with it a lot better than my son Larry, who, because he wasn't circumcised as a baby, he's held that against myself and his late father. It was nothing that his late father did. I made the decision not to circumcise him, and it was for health reasons. But Larry's resented that, and because of that, he doesn't have a social life the way that you knew. You know.
Well, he's married. It's not a social life.
Yes, ma'am. I've got a wife and I've got two kids.
Oh, you're married. I'm sorry. I thought Mr. Henry said you were single. All right. Well, I wanted to invite you to caffeinated beverage or something, but that's all right. I just want to say, Phil, I know your program. And Mr. Bozell, I hope...
My name is Bozell, by the way. Not
okay, that's fine. That's a good name, Bozell. And I wanted to say thank you very much. It was a wonderful program. And I'm enjoying it immensely, but I didn't know you were married, and I didn't mean to make a... To be inappropriate with you.
No, ma'am, you weren't inappropriate. I never told you. You know.
I was going to invite you for a caffeinated drink of, or something to drink, anything that you like, and you can come over and, you know, and we could talk about it, but I understand you're married. And
yes, ma'am, I am married. And
I understand that you are happily married. And
yes, I am happily married, yes.
All right, well, Mr. Henry, thank you so much, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Okay, so, I'm not quite sure, but I think what...
It's obvious to me the lady was trying to jump my bones, and I can't have it, you know?
No, I know, no, that's not the case. I know that woman. She's a regular caller of ours. She's a nice lady. I think her larger point...
Well, if she's a regular caller of yours, why is she calling and trying to jump my bones?
Okay, you know, Steve, let's get past that. I think she was being very gracious, and she was being very sweet, and was going to invite you for some kind of a coffee, it sounds like, and...
Well, you said caffeinated drink, I don't know, you know...
All right, well, maybe a Red Bull. I don't know what the hell she was inviting you for, okay, but...
Yeah, but that's my point, you know, when I've got a wife sitting here. I've got a daughter. You know, my daughter, April Jr., she reports everything back to that school. We've got this woman at the school I've told you about, this Dorton, who has, I've told you all about her, and now she's going to go back to school and say, Daddy was on the phone. Man, I can't win for losing.
Okay, look at Steve. Pull it together here a little bit and listen to me. That lady I know, she calls the show, and she's a very nice woman, and she called up to simply say that you have done a great job with your life and that you've done a great job with your children, and you have nothing to hang your head about, and you're doing fine, you know. I want to know what grade your son gets on this paper. I'll bet you he gets a fantastic grade.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Trainer. You know, I did the best I could.
Of course you did. Of course you did. But you can't get too bent out of shape because the Texas Rangers don't want you. 160 guys, man, that's a very exclusive club to break into.
Well, I think the U.S. Senate is probably more exclusive.
Yep. Okay, so the U.S. Senate's more exclusive. Whatever. The fact is, 160, and these are law enforcement men who are devoted exclusively to the state of Texas. So you wouldn't be, you know, you wouldn't be a federal officer of any kind. And I just think that perhaps if you really want a career in law enforcement, something, excuse me for saying this, something bigger and better might be ahead.
Well, you know, I mean, that is a way of looking at it. You know,
of course it's a way of looking at it.
I've always felt, you know, Texas Ranger, but I've always seen, you know, I'd love to do probably more than anything is FBI, but I doubt it. You know?
Well, why not?
Well, I got the job out here, you know, and the other thing about FBI is the homosexuals, you know, and I've got nothing against homosexuals. And
what do you mean homosexuals?
Well, the FBI doing what they do, you know.
No, I don't know. What do you mean homosexuals? Are you a bigot?
No, sir, I'm not a bigot. I'm saying I'm not a homosexual. Do I got to spell it out for you?
The FBI? Who says you got to be a homosexual?
They got founded by one, and I assume that...
They got founded? Are you talking about J. Edgar Hoover?
Yes, sir.
Oh, come on, will you, for crying out loud?
So you don't know what the man dressed up? He dressed up on a Friday night.
I know all about them dressing up on a Friday night and everything else with Clyde Tolson. You don't have to be a homosexual to be in the FBI.
Well, then how come the guy that formulated it...
The guy that formulated it? You mean the first director of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, was a homosexual, was gay? In a time... You know, Mr. Bozell, you got some big... No wonder you flunked the psych test.
Now, that's dirty pool right...
877-876-PHIL.
Boy, a minute ago, sounded like you were that guy's best friend. Now, all of a sudden, you think the guy's some crazy man.
Yeah, I do. You better believe I think he's nuts. I've always wanted to be in the FBI, but I'm not a homosexual. Oh, that's great, man. God.
What about the FBI and dress them up?
What do you want me to tell you, man? J. Edgar Hoover was gay, and it must have been... I can't even begin to imagine what it must have been like to be gay and to be J. Edgar Hoover at a time that he was gay and J. Edgar Hoover. You know, we're talking about World War I forward. That was the active period of J. Edgar Hoover's law enforcement career with the United States. And J. Edgar Hoover... you can say what you want, and a lot of people have criticized him and have critiqued his career, but he was... Why are we talking about this?
On account of that guy's not a homosexual?
This has got nothing to do with why that guy called up, and we're talking about that.
Well, go ahead, man. You might as well finish.
Well, I mean, what time is it, man?
No, go ahead, finish.
J. Edgar Hoover was the first director of the FBI.
Yeah, no, not that part. The part about him dressing up.
J. Edgar Hoover, it was said, I think I read an article or two, he liked to get into the, he liked to, you know, at these parties that some of these guys might have, he dressed up as a chick. I mean, that's what I heard, and I'm not saying, even if he did, whatever, you know.
What do you mean, even if he did, whatever? How can you be a cop and do that?
I don't know, man, but he did. J. Edgar Hoover was, for better or for worse, and I think for better at the end of the day, although... He was involved in some very nefarious stuff. It was a time when the U.S. government acted that way. But for better or for worse, he was one of the greatest cops the United States has ever had. He was the guy that put his stamp on the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We didn't know what the hell a Federal Bureau of Investigation was. We didn't know whether we needed one or not. We didn't know what it was supposed to do. We didn't know how we should train them, what they were saying. It was J. Edgar Hoover that put all of that together. was J. Edgar Hoover. That was the it was the anti-terror, anti-espionage arm of the U.S. government before we even really knew what terrorism was. And
yeah, but he didn't even bear the FBI with the mafia at one time.
What one time?
What about the people in the mountains?
J. Edgar Hoover, it was really slow to the game when it came to the mafia. There's no question about that. You talk about the Appalachian meeting in 1957?
Yeah.
Yeah, J. Edgar Hoover was very slow to the game when it came to the La Cosa Nostra, the mafia. There was a huge meeting of FBI bosses in a resort town in the Appalachian Mountains in upstate New York. And or whatever mountains they're called up there, and I used to live near them, and I don't even remember, the Adirondacks. And nonetheless, there was a big meeting, and a local police officer saw all of these Cadillacs and these heavy hitters pulling into town wearing these, $900 suits and getting out of the cars in two-tone shoes.
Yeah, and all their olive oil charm and their, you know, with his olive oil smile.
Yeah, okay, bud.
You could have a godfather, man. So?
All right, fine. So anyway, olive oil charm. So they got out of the car, and this cop called it in. And the next thing you know, all kinds of cops descend on this meeting. And these mafia guys hightailed it out of this house. And it was apparently a very comic scene. All of these cats in these expensive suits running through cow pastures and running away from the police. And the reason why they were running, to answer your question, bud, that I know you're going to ask, is that they all probably had police records or were wanted for questioning in a variety of crimes, and they didn't want to have to hassle all of that. So it was quite an embarrassment for the FBI because it suddenly was made public that there were these captains of American crime meeting in this farmhouse, and the FBI was completely unaware of it because the FBI at that point was concentrating on one thing, communism. And as we've come to find out, the commies are gone, but the mafia is still here. So, world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back after these words from, I'd like to say after these words from Ovaltine, but I know it's something even better than that. World famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. We want to thank Mr. Stephen Bozell, and boy, what a rough life that guy's got, huh?
Yeah, he's worried about where he's going to be a Ranger.
Well, but the Texas Ranger, though, is a baseball team.
Yeah, they named themselves after the Texas Rangers.
They do that?
I guess they can do it. I mean, what are they going to do? What's the Texas Rangers probably think it's cool that somebody named themselves?
Ain't nobody going to call him, doing a baseball, call himself the California Highway Patrol.
No.
Why not?
Why?
I don't know.
It's the stupidest name for a baseball team I've ever heard in my life.
Well, you're about the Texas Ranger.
That sounds good, man. California Highway Patrol sounds stupid.
Think about it, bud, will you? Just for once, think about it. The Los Angeles California Highway Patrol.
No, you call them the Highway Patrolman.
Oh, get out of here. All right, let's talk a little bit about the race that took the life of this very, very talented young man, Dan Weldon. This was IZOD IndyCar Series that was on Sunday at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. The series' two greatest legends have staunchly defended the oval track tradition, A.J. Foyt and Mario Andretti. They condemned five-time NASCAR champion Jimmy Johnson and others for calling on IndyCar to stop racing, on ovals because it was too easy for cars to get airborne. Now, what's getting lost in all of this, folks, I noticed that right after the race, a great many people were talking about how sad they were to hear about the death of Dan Weldon. Very sad. There's no question about it. And I don't know that I don't know if anybody remembers. Sometimes some of these wrecks and these crashes are horribly visible. You know, we see cars flipping through the air. We see cars bursting into flames. We see a lot of things. And the way these cars are designed now, they come apart. And the reason why they come apart is so that the roll cage, which is where the driver is, the roll cage stays intact. So that if the entire car has fallen away, the roll cage is still intact. Now, you may ask, well, why is that good, Phil? Because it's better to have all of these flaming airborne pieces come off of the primary unit that carries the driver than to have him stuck to an automobile, to a racing vehicle that's flipping through the air. And that was the case for many, many years in racing. If a car got into trouble, and I'm not talking about a car that's airborne. That's a different thing entirely. However, some of those cars might not have gotten airborne had the parts of the car, once there was enough impact, just sheared away from the roll cage itself where the driver is. But I remember watching the Indy 500 one year when Danny Anguias, the great IndyCar driver, got into trouble on the back stretch. And my God, you could see Danny Anguias unconscious in that roll cage as the whole front of the car had stripped away. And the only thing left was the two rear tires and the unconscious Danny Anguias in that roll cage as the car was going forward. And you know what? He survived to race again. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, our News and Information Hour, coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You said that.
Well, I'm saying it again.
Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.